Two or three people. Tell them how thrilled you are to see them here this morning. We certainly are glad to see you here at Word of Life this morning. We want to invite you, if you can, to open up your Bibles with us to the book of Numbers. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, man, we'd love to give you one. You can lift up your hand and our ushers, they'll be in the aisles now with the Bible ready to give you one. If you don't have a Bible at all, good news, now you do. That one's yours to keep. If you do have a Bible, just for whatever reason you weren't able to bring it to church today or maybe left it in the car or something like that, feel free to take one of those Bibles and you can just give it back to the ushers at the end of the service. Open up those Bibles with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 21. And we're going to look at a verse of Scripture here in verse 4. On the screens, if you can go to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. On the screens, Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. And we're opening our Bibles to Numbers chapter 21 and verse 4. I had a message that I was going to preach. In fact, I was going to start a new series, but I just couldn't get a release to do it. And so Saturday, I started working on a new message that would tie into what I preached last Sunday, talking about renewing the mind. And so I wrote out that message, thought that may be it, but just still didn't feel quite comfortable with it in my heart. So around 6 o'clock, I just started reading a book for fun. And while I was reading the book, I came across some things that just jumped out to me. And out of that, I felt led to go in a different direction. So maybe the third time's the charm. We'll see. But I want to talk to you today about overcoming discouragement and disappointment. I don't have a lot of notes, but I do think that the notes that I have are for some people here in particular. And so we're not believing for a lengthy message or a length of words today. More importantly, we're believing God for the right words. You know, it seems to me, and I've heard a lot of preachers saying this here recently, I don't want to preach you a message, I just want to talk to you. We're just going to give you a talk today. In fact, they're calling it a talk. And I'm fundamentally against that. When Jesus went into his own hometown and all about, he didn't go around talking. He went around about teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the kingdom. And there's a difference between giving a talk and preaching the gospel. One is in your own strength and can provide entertainment, but only the preaching and teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ can have the anointing tied to it. And so that's what we're wanting today. I'm not wanting to talk. I'm wanting to teach and to establish some truths into your own heart. And I believe the Lord's going to help us do that this morning. Numbers chapter 21 in verse 4. Here we see the children of Israel. We made reference to them. I believe it was last week. We see them in the middle of the wilderness. At this stage in their lives, they have seen the handiwork of God time and time again. They've seen God come through and do the miraculous. They're on their way to the promised land from Egyptian bondage, and they find themselves right in the middle of the two. And just like in anybody's life, they encountered things that were not overly pleasant or overly enjoyable. And something happened to them along the way. Let's find out what that is. Numbers chapter 21 and verse 4. And they being the children of Israel, journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. The way the journey was going, the way their life was going, their soul became much discouraged. You could put it this way. They lost their passion for the journey. In fact, you see them several times this take place in their life, and they almost grow content to just stay where they're at. And to fall into a place many times of mourning and sadness, even anger because of the way the journey was going for them. They started wanting to blame Moses and blame Aaron, and then they worked over into blaming God and all of these different situations. And the reason why they were doing these things was because their soul had become discouraged because of the way their life was going. I don't know if you've ever been there before, but I certainly know I have. And last night, as I was reading, like I said, the Lord started dealing with my heart about two reasons why people's souls become discouraged. And you gotta identify these two things, because if you don't know why you are discouraged, it'll be impossible to fix it. Does that make sense? But if you can identify the root of the problem, if you can identify why your soul is discouraged, then you know immediately what to go about fixing. And last night, he gave me two reasons why people's souls may be discouraged. And I'm not saying these are the only two. I'm sure there are more. It's just these are the only two I know to preach on this morning. And these two reasons I have seen in my own life. I can remember two periods of time in my life where my soul was extremely discouraged, tired. My passion for the journey has fallen by the wayside. I've had two seasons of life where that's happened to me. And when the Lord put on my heart the two points as to why it happens, I realized in one occasion it's because of that first point. And in the other occasion, it's because of that second point. And so today, I want to talk to you about these two points and how to get out of them once if you find yourself in them. The first reason why people's soul becomes discouraged is they're trying to take a past season in their life over into the new one. They're trying to carry on to the past and bring it into a new season. Like I said, two times in my life where my soul has been discouraged. First time was when my father passed away. Growing up, I grew up in a home that was preaching and teaching the Word of God, and I saw the handiwork of God in my life. And I'll be honest with you, growing up as a child, there wasn't a whole lot that I had to overcome. If there was ever anything that needed to be overcoming, I had a man in my life, my father, who was a man of faith. And faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And we may go through something, but eventually we'd find ourselves as a family unit coming out of it because of faith. Thank God for faith and the message of faith. I've seen it work time and time again. And so as a child, there wasn't too much defeat, if any, that I know of going on while I was a child growing up in my parents' household. There were challenges, there was temptations, there were trials, but faith overcame them all. And there was that force of faith in our family coming from my father. But when he passed away, I'm telling you what, friend, it cut me to the core. I mean to the absolute core. It rattled my faith. I had all types of emotions. And I'll be honest with you, right when it happened, it seemed like it didn't happen. I don't know if you've ever had that happen to you. It just almost seems like so much chaos going around you. That's all just a dream. Life is moving so fast that you're not really picking up the pieces. And I think a lot of that was just the speed of life. But for me, I know during that season of my life, I mentioned this before, God gave me a peace that passed all understanding. There was a peace from God that rested upon my soul. And I didn't even comprehend really what was going on. It just seemed like maybe my father was on a missions trip somewhere or at a crusade somewhere. It didn't dawn on me that my father had passed away. And you know, you've heard me talk about this before. I think that peace was there because only in peace can you make smart decisions. Don't ever forget this. Anytime you're feeling overwhelmed, don't make a whole lot of decisions in that moment. It will lead to decisions being born out of the flesh, which always produce Ishmaels, versus being born out of the spirit, which always produce Isaacs. You've got to wait to calm down, wait for peace to set in before you start making decisions about life. And as soon as I knew in my heart, like I said, before I ever saw my father, I was sitting in my high school class. The Lord spoke to my heart in science class that my father just passed away. At that moment, that peace came upon me. And it stayed with me for about the next 5 or 6 months. Just couldn't doubt, couldn't worry. Just amazing, that peace that passed all understanding. Well, anyway, I'll never will forget it. I was sitting over in my apartment going to Bible school. About 5, 6 months after my father had passed away. And I tell you what, it dawned on me. It just flat dawned on me that he's gone. I will never see him again in this life. Thank God for heaven. Death is not goodbye, it's a see you later. Thank God for that. But it dawned on me that there'd never be another Christmas where I'd see my father. There'd never be another Thanksgiving. It dawned on me that my father wouldn't see me in the natural where I could see him. Don't misunderstand me. I know he's watching from heaven. But it dawned on me in the natural that when I walk down the aisle and see my wife walk down the aisle to get married, that my father wouldn't be doing the officiating. And friend, I tell you what, all of those thoughts came. And I had a season of life where my father was in it, the strength of my life. And I've said it before, but it's the truth. The problem with the children of Israel was they only knew God as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They didn't know God as their God. And that's how I was. I knew the God of Ronnie Sims, but you know, I knew God from that mediator. But friend, in everyone's life, there should only be one mediator between you and God, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm beginning to find God at that time in my life, to find God for myself, having a lot of honest communications with him. And for several weeks, for several months, I carried that oppression, that depression around with me. Just that sadness, that grief. And that's only a natural process. There's nothing wrong with feeling those emotions when a part of you is lost, whether it's a job or whether it's a loved one or whether it is a relationship. They didn't pass away, but they're no longer in your life. It's only natural to feel a sense of loss because something that was in your life is no longer there. There's a period of time where adjustment is needed and those cracks have to be filled in order to be made whole. And thank God by his grace, God comes in and starts filling in those cracks. But friend, I was carrying it out a little bit longer than it should. I don't know if you've ever done that before. I'm just saying my story. I don't know your story. I only know my story. I was carrying that out a little bit longer than I should. And I never will forget it. One night, I was reading my Bible. It's always a good thing to do, especially in times like that. I was reading my Bible and came across the book of Joshua. I can always remember as a young man, my father would tell me, especially in Joshua chapter 1, there's a recipe for success there. Success leaves clues. There's a huge clue, in Joshua chapter 1. I'll let you go find it for yourself later. It's not in the scriptures we're about to read, although these definitely helped me. So I went over to go look at that scripture over in Joshua chapter 1. And I started reading in verse 1. And as soon as I began reading, the Lord started speaking to my heart. Let's find out what it says. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Moses had been the leader of God's people for years, for decades. He had been the one who was in charge of leading this group of people into the promised land. And when he passed away, it was real funny. All of these people who for years thought we need to stone him, they're all mourning his death. And Joshua is among these people. He never spake of stoning Moses. He was Moses' chief student, if you will. Moses was his mentor, like a father to him. And they're all sitting around mourning the death of Moses. He's been dead. And God comes and speaks unto Joshua and the children of Israel. And he says something that's very obvious. He speaks to him and says, Moses is dead. Now arise, get up from this place, and go over into what I've prepared for you. And I kid you not, when I read that, it was like God was saying that directly to me. Moses is dead. He's not coming back. In the natural, you will never see him again. And while it's only natural to have emotions of mourning and sadness and grief, if you try to hold on to that old life, you will never get into the new life God has for you. What he was telling Joshua and the children of Israel was this: Moses is never coming back. He's not coming back to lead you. You will go to him, but he will never come to you. He is gone forever on this earth. And if you want to get into the promised land, you got to let it go. You got to realize he is dead. The time of mourning, it's up. And now it's time to get over into the new season God has for your life. And friend, I'm telling you, when I read that, it was like something dawned on my heart. That just because my father had passed away, it did not mean that my life had to stop. It just simply meant that my life was entering a new season. But in order for me to embrace that new season, I would have to let go of the old one. Not forget memories, not going back and looking at pictures. No, you do. You're thankful for it. You're thankful for the love you had. You're thankful for the times you had. But at the same time, you are moving forward to what God has prepared for you. You can't bring that old season into the new one. You got to let it go. It could be anything. It doesn't have to be the loss of a loved one. It could be anything. The loss of anything. You had something, but it's not here anymore. Could be a nest egg. Could be whatever. You had something, but it's not there. You got to let it go. You got to. It's the only way to get over into the new. Go over to the book of Ruth. Ruth is right before 1 Samuel and all of that. In fact, we're in Numbers. Just keep turning till you get past Joshua and Judges. Ruth is right after that. On the screens, can you pull up Romans chapter 8 and verse 28? That would be splendid. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. We're going to the book of Ruth. In the story of Ruth, you see a young lady named Ruth marry the son of Naomi. Naomi is a mother. She's married to a husband. And out of that relationship, she has had two children. And we get the indication that her life was filled with joy. In fact, her name Naomi means my joy. That at this season of life, her life was filled with all of this sweetness, with all of this joy, with all of this expectation. I'll put it to you this way. She was enjoying her journey of life. And on one particular day, something happened and her husband passed away. That's a tough go for anyone. I saw what happened with my mother when my father passed away. But then not only did that happen, her two sons passed away. Now, I can't imagine that as a married man to have a wife and two children. and to where in a matter of months those people are no longer in your life. You can imagine the void it was leaving within Naomi. And it affected her deeply, as it would anyone. But I mean, it cut her to the core. And she does something that in a lot of cases can be very wise. She decided to move on. They were dwelling in a land, and she heard that God was visiting his people over in the land that she was born in, the city of Bethlehem. And she hears about that, and she decides to move back there. When she does, she approaches her two daughter-in-laws, who were like daughters to her. We get the indication from Scripture that she was very close to these ladies. I'm sure in their pain, they kind of bound together. And she told them, she said, look, I'm an older lady. My life, it's basically over. That's what she was telling them. There's no sense in you following me anymore. There's no sense in you going with me anywhere. You're a young lady. You still have life out in front of you. You're young women. There's still life for you to live. But for me, my life is basically over. I'm just readying myself to die. One of the daughter-in-laws decides to heed her advice and stay and move on to her own home country and leave Naomi to go to her homeland. But there are other daughter-in-law named Ruth, who the book of the Bible kind of follows, decides to stay with Naomi and basically tells Naomi, wherever you go, I'll go. Wherever you dwell, I'll dwell. Whoever's your God, they'll be my God. Thank God for Ruth. People who will stay with you and help you at a time when you need help the most. We preached on this a couple of Wednesdays ago, but friend, it's the absolute truth. Faithfulness cannot be demonstrated in good times. It's impossible for faithfulness to be demonstrated then. Faithfulness can only be revealed when your life goes through challenges. And Ruth had made a decision to be faithful to Naomi. Naomi goes into her own hometown, and Ruth is following her. And you can see this here in Ruth chapter 1 and verse 19. It says, so they two, Naomi and Ruth, went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them and said, is this Naomi? Apparently, everyone knew Naomi. And so when Naomi comes back into the city, everyone's saying, is this Naomi? Now remember, her name means my joy. And when she hears all of these people saying, is this Naomi? Is this my joy? She stops them, and watch what she tells them here in verse 20. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi. Call me Mara. Mara means bitter. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call me Naomi, seeing the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? What's happening here? She's suffering the pain of loss. And whenever that pain happens, immediately in our own selves, because we are human, we want to get mad at somebody or something. We want to find out, why did this happen? How could this have happened to me? And immediately begin to pass blame on someone or something so that our heart can get stilled. And Naomi's going through this stage of pain, and she's going through this stage. And so the only thing she can put blame on is God. He has dealt bitterly with me. I went out full. My life was filled with joy. But now I'm bitter. I'm hurting because of what happened in my life. I don't know if you've ever been there before. Maybe you're there right now. But I have. I've been there. And in her mind, she's thinking, the best of life, it is behind me. That life, it'll never be the same again. She goes into her own hometown. They've got no means to take care of themselves. And so Ruth goes out and starts gleaning from a field by a man named Boaz. Boaz was related to Naomi. And Boaz, when he sees Ruth, he asks about her and he's moved with compassion. And on purpose, he makes his men leave handfuls of wheat for her out in the field to be a blessing to her and be a blessing to Naomi. Over time, you see a romance kindle between Ruth and Boaz. You see the flames of compassion burning within both of them. And sure enough, they decide to get married. In this process, they have a boy. And watch what happens at the end of this, the end of the story of Ruth. Ruth chapter 4 and verse 13. Ruth chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, "So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman." A kinsman is a kinsman redeemer. A kinsman redeemer is someone who finds your life in one place, but takes you, buys you back, and puts your life in a brand new place, a higher place, a better place. And when this is happening in Ruth's life, it's not only affecting Ruth, it's affecting Naomi. And the other ladies around Naomi come and tell her, "Your life was here, but thank God you have a kinsman. Thank God you've got someone who can buy your life back. Thank God you have someone in your life who can find you here, but pick your life up and bring it there." Watch what they tell her in verse 14. "He has not left you without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel." Verse 15, "And he shall be unto thee a restorer of your life." That her life at one point was so empty, so hollow, so bitter because of the loss that she had. But thank God she had a kinsman. Someone who would come and be a restorer of her life. And you see, Naomi does something that seems like it's so rare that people do. She let go of the old. She allowed this new season to dawn. Here's the thing about new seasons. The old season, it is gone. And your life, it will never be the same again. Never. That season is gone. Your life will never be the same. So you have to quit trying to make it the same. For Naomi, her life would never be the same, but it did not mean her life had to be bad. It did not mean that the new season had to be something that was bad or terrible. It simply meant that the new season would be different. And that the new season could actually bring greater increase and bring greater satisfaction. And yes, it was different from the old. And we could look back on the old and give thanks for the life that we had, but we must allow it to let go from our life in order to embrace the new. To embrace the fullness of the new season that God has set in front of us. Naomi did that. And you know what? You can read the rest of the story. Something marvelous happened in her. God began restoring her life. She found Naomi again. She had lost herself. Before she was my joy, but because of the sorrow, she lost herself and only recognized herself as Mara, bitter. But when the kinsman, the redeemer, showed up in her life, brought about a new season. She found Naomi again. She found her joy. God restored her life, even restored her youth, so that when she held that little child, David's grandfather, turns out he was, in her lap. Her body began to change and milk began to flow, and at her old age, she nursed that boy. God restored joy to her. It wasn't her son, but it sure felt like it. It wasn't what she had, but it was something new. And it was something sweet. And it was something good. I'm at a place in my life, if you'd have told me in my apartment that night that my life would be better now than it was when I was a child growing up in my father's house, I never would have believed you. I would have called you a liar, and it would have made me mad. Because how could it be better with him out of my life? And maybe today, even when I'm telling you to move on, something inside of you wants to hold on. Because how could it be better? But I'm here to tell you, I'm not unfamiliar with your pain. That I'm not someone preaching from just a text, but someone also preaching from experience. That now my life is on the other side of the mountain. And I see the fullness of my life, the joy that I have. And I can tell you the truth this morning and testify to you. I'm so glad I let go. I'm thankful for it. Man, I'm grateful. Grateful for my legacy. Grateful for the love that I had in my life. But I'm not so mindful of it that I ignore the love that I have in my life right now. I don't ignore the people I have in my life who love me. I'm not so mindful of what I lost that I forget what I've gained. I savor that. I enjoy that. And my life is better today than it was. It's sweeter. It's different. But it's better. Years ago, I'll close with this. I never even got to point two. I got up here thinking, I'm not going to have enough notes for 15 minutes. Haven't even got to point two. Maybe we'll get to it next Sunday. Years ago, when I first became pastor of the church, I was going through another season of life where I was getting discouraged. We may talk about that next week. But I never will forget, I went back to my office, and what had happened was some people had just left the church. And it was a group of people, not just a person, a group of people. Very, very disappointed. And at the time, my secretary, she now lives in Texas, and a wonderful woman named Londa. She was my father's secretary as well. I was so grateful for her in that season because she saw everything he went through, and so she was able to kind of coach me through this beginning of my pastorate. And I sat down in the chair across from her desk, and I told her how I was feeling, and she was a sounding board for me there, where wouldn't judge me and say, hey, that's not faith. You know, she was able to have a little bit of empathy and compassion. And I sat down from her, and she gave me some of the best advice I've ever gotten to this day, and I have listened to some of the world's best preachers. I study for a living and a hobby. And I'm telling you, this is some of the best advice I've ever got. She said, Pastor Joel, there are some people who are in your life that are temporal. They're here for the temporary. There are other people who are in your life that are there eternally. They will never leave you nor forsake you. Their call demands their life to be by you. She said, if you ever try to make the temporal the permanent, you'll live in nothing but frustration. And friend, that's not only true with people, that's true with life. Seasons change, my friend. Naturally, they change going from winter to spring. Physically, they change. Seasons change. And if you try to hold on to the old, we live in a world that tries to hold on to the old seasons. Instead of embracing the new, they want to. Friend, I'm telling you, let it go. Here's my old scripture, last scripture, Romans 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. The key word in this scripture is together. All things work together. See, if you take one event of your life and try to distinguish it out and hold it apart from the rest and center in on why did this happen, and you major on that one part instead of seeing how that part fits together with all the other parts, you will live frustrated. But now I go back and I look at what has happened over my life and I see there are certain things that at the time I thought were the worst thing that ever could have happened. When you're looking only at that event, when you're seeing the tree and not the forest, and you zoom in on that one thing, you think, this is so terrible. How in the world is this going to work together for my good? But the key is you're holding it out here apart. And God's saying, but when you look at it together, and over time when you can step back and see how that fits into the big picture, you see how life really can work together for the good, for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. The first tip to overcoming discouragement is to stop trying to carry an old season over into a new season. The new season will be different. That's why it's new. If I gave you a new car, it could be a better car than your old car, but it'll always be a different car. And have you gotten in a new car and you're so used to that knob being where it is and you reach down and you got the hydraulic now. I mean, but you're used to having a pull and you have the new, but you miss kind of that pull because you've been pulling for 5 years. It's better. It's new. But it is different. You can't make it like the old car. It's a new car. Enjoy it. Same way with life. Seasons change. And those seasons do change. You cannot hold on to the new, old one. You have to embrace the new. Love the new. And believe that there is a kinsman redeemer in your life named Jesus Christ, who will come in your life and be a restorer of your life. Bring back something to live for. Bring back something new. Something good. And quite possibly, something better. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me pray with you.